G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today I've got a couple of legends on the show with me today to recap the industry pickup auction draft results, and we're going to get stuck straight into it. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! He's responsible!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And like I said off the top of the show, guys, we have a couple of legends of the fantasy basketball community and two analysts competing in the industry pickup league, that is the auction draft division, one of whom was in the league last year, one of whom is joining the league for the first time this season. We've got Kingy and Karan joining the show. Let's bring them onto screen now. G'day, fellas. How are we both doing? Kingy, welcome back to the industry pickup for this year.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I thought it was good league last year, first time around, so I thought it was competitive. Obviously, you made the final. I did not. I did make the playoffs, so that was something. But no, looking forward to it. And the auction was a lot of fun yesterday, as I'm sure we'll all attest to. And anyone that's listened to your breakdown of your team and Josh Lloyd did a full show, 2.5 hour show, which I've listened to in three parts. I'm not in the car for 2.5 hours to listen to
1.5x that.
Yeah, so, but he covered it all. And yeah, we're going to go through our teams tonight, so it should be fun.
Yeah, and Karan, you're joining the Industry Pickup League for the first time. I mean, it's only the second year this thing's running, and obviously last year we just had the one league. But what are your, after sitting on the sidelines last year, what are your thoughts? Have you scouted our weaknesses and how to exploit us from last year? What are your thoughts coming into the league, man?
Wait, all of that just goes out the window when you enter an auction, right? And a snake, you can sort of see these are the kind of guys that people want in these rounds, but in an auction, anything is possible. So that's part of why when Rickleen and B-Dub and Josh set it up, like when they reached out, I was like, I want to do the auction because it's the whole element of like the dynamic nature of it that I was interested in.
Yeah, 100%. And that was the same for me. And I think you're the same as well, Karan. Actually, I don't know if any of us are super experienced in auction drafts. Yeah. I've done a couple mocks here and there. Last year I did, I think we were all in the same auction league together. That was my first one, which I mentioned before, it threw me for a little bit because I think it started as a 12-man league and then 5 minutes before the draft, two other people joined in and my prices and values kind of threw out the window. So my experience in that league wasn't as good as I would have liked it to be, or I didn't fare as well as I would have liked to, but walking away from this draft, I felt a little bit better. I feel like I executed my plan a little bit. And we'll start with that. And the reason I want to talk to both of you guys specifically on the show is from what I could tell, you guys entered the draft with a plan, I guess, a sort of a strategy, but came at it from a different point of view. So I'll start with you, Kingy. What was sort of your plan or your strategy heading into the draft? How much did you sort of, I guess, plan pre-draft, or were you sort of letting things kind of fall as they may? Like, what was sort of your strategy going into it before we hit the start time?
I had a pretty clear strategy, and people know that I don't mind a punt. So so I came in with a punt strategy, and unlike a snake draft, I do think it is pretty easy to come into an auction with a strategy in mind, because you can have a list of targets and they're your targets. They're not falling to you or anything like in a snake draft. You can just go, I really want this guy, rather than, hey, I'm at pick 8, so I know I'm not going to be able to get these players. So I came in with a strategy. It was a strategy I've used in a few leagues this year already. So all I had was a list, a handwritten list of players. I think I had about, maybe 25 players on my list, and they were just players that I knew were a good fit for my build. So I had them in order of priority. These are the guys I want. And as I got them, I just circled them. And if I missed them, I crossed them out. So I knew what I was doing, and I probably overpaid for a couple of guys. But that's something you can do when you punt, because you, as you would know, and I actually think we had ended up both punting points. Mm. You can target guys and pay a couple extra bucks because everyone's chasing the guys that are getting you 20 points and 22 points, and I couldn't care less about them. So someone like I listened to Josh, and I know that he talked about putting Zach Edey out as bait, and I took that bait.
Just took it straight away.
I did take it, and he was very happy with himself for doing that. And same with a couple other guys there. I think Dyson Daniels, $8. I shouldn't have to pay $8 for Dyson Daniels, but I still had money left when we finished. I'm yet to finish an auction draft with zero. I always have $7 left. So I think I need to just manage. And part of that, I think, is the tight ass in me. So I always look back and go, I could have gone a little bit harder on this guy. One of those guys is Jalen Suggs, who you got on your team. And I think we were going back and forth, and I ended up just going, no, you can have him. And I probably should have gone, hey, I'll go an extra $2 or $3 and just get him. But
I remember that particular player. You had $1 extra max bid than me, and I was nervous about that because I was like, I need the steals because it'll be the difference, Baker, I think, between you and I, maybe the turnovers, and a few other teams in the league. But I was happy. I was happy to get him as where I did. What about you, Karan? Heading into the draft, like, what was your strategy? How much did you pre-plan, or were you a bit more, I guess, happy to let things fall as they would compared to Kingy?
Yeah, so I walked in. I did some planning a few hours before the draft. I walked in with a list of maybe 106 target players in my projections, who I had them like higher. And I had about 26 or 27 guys who I was fading. So these are the guys I wanted to nominate, right? And I wanted the money to go out with them. Then I had a list of $1 flyers as well. Towards the end, I had a list of like guys, like if worst comes to worst, if I'm stuck with four or five $1 players, I have this list ready. That was the broader target strategy. And then in terms of like my style, usually like I try to go for balanced builds. And that's what I wanted to do. So I wanted to try and focus on point guards and centers. I wanted to try and focus on getting a lot of points, rebounds, and assists, as those are the sort of categories that sort of don't vary that much year on year. And then let the other stuff figure itself out, right? So that was my main strategy walking in. I obviously looked at the sort of playoff schedules as well of certain teams, the ones which had two game weeks. I sort of tried to use them as a tiebreaker. The teams which had more quality games, I tried to use them as a tiebreaker as well. And I had that list that, you know, obviously Milwaukee has the highest, LA like that. And that's how I walked in. And then obviously I was ready to pivot though. I was, if I, for example, got a player like a Giannis or someone for a cheaper price, then I had an idea of that if I had to build with Giannis, what I had to do there. But that was secondary. The primary one was the balance bid.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting because obviously those who haven't seen the list, and I'll bring the teams up soon. Kingy had a very different, like, he obviously went balanced. Kingy went with the four category punt, where he punted, what was it, threes, free throw percentage, points, and assists. Am I right?
Yep.
So just punting all guard stats, bar steals. So you obviously went into the draft with a very different strategy, but obviously the planning went, and I think if I remove all of my custom projections, if I go, which is probably obviously biased towards myself, if I go off Josh Lloyd's, I guess, which is on Basketball Monster, the projections, like with that build, Kingy, you still end up pretty high up in the projected standings. And Karan, you're fairly competitive in the middle of the pack there as well. And a lot of the differences are very, very marginal. So, Just to boil down to, I think both strategies can win. I don't think there's one way that's like proven this is the better way to go about it. I tend to lean a little bit more on your side, Kingy, where going into the draft, I had a strategy in mind. I did want to still be flexible though. So like different to you, where you've gone, I'm going to punt four categories. I was going, okay, I'm going to punt maybe one or two, But for example, when I got, I think I got Steph Curry at 36, and at that time, all I had was Chet and Steph. There was a part of me that thought, okay, could I pivot to a different build here? And so I did leave myself open to that. And so I don't know what you guys, well, I'll throw it open to both you guys. How do you guys come up with your valuations? Are you using something like a Basketball Monster? Do you use sort of average prices from something like a Yahoo or something like that? Karan, how do you come up with your prices? And obviously, how do you then adjust that to the league settings and the range and things like that you're looking for?
Yeah, so for this, I had my custom projections. And then when you input your custom projections into Monster, then it sort of gives you out a dollar value there. But for me, then after that, I had a bit of a difference. I wanted to have more $1 players. So I increased that setting because it's a games cap league, right? Like if it's a games cap league, you're likely not going to be using your bench most times, right? So that's one part I did adjust. And then I also, in draft, I was adjusting prices as well because you need to see the early picks. Like for example, Wemby and Jokic in this draft went a little lower than what, you know, their Yahoo average or ESPN average would be. So then you adjust your price accordingly, right? If they went for 80, 85, I would adjust my price accordingly because then there's a lot of value in the mid rounds. So that's how I did my projections for the draft.
Yeah. I did something similar. And I think as well, for example, when we'll get into this, so obviously the league is a games cap league, and those who follow the industry pick up last year, it's the same sort of setup we did there. You have four games played per week per position. So it's 40 games, but it also is limited to per position as well. So I think that's a key distinction to make. So like you, Karan, I went into the draft thinking, okay, well, I want to have 10 really good players. Going with the balance in terms of like dollar amount, I don't want to have like your $70, $80 Jokic and then, you know, have several $1 players in my starting 10. But I also didn't want to go out and notice some people in the draft went fully balanced throughout their entire roster and sort of, because it feels like you're kind of wasting a bit of that money on your bench when you're not going to use them every week. However, in my draft, and I think I said this in the previous podcast, when I drafted someone like a Paul George, well, that made me think, okay, well, he's definitely not going to be, well, more than likely not going to be at the start of the season. And there's going to be times throughout the season where they've already said he's going to be resting some back-to-backs. So instead of me thinking coming into the draft, I had four, I kind of shifted that to be three because I still wanted at least one solid guy off my bench to cover off that player who I expect to be resting back-to-backs at times. So all to doing that during the draft as well and changing projections and prices, which, you know, if I was recording the podcast live, would have been very difficult to do as well. But thankfully, well, maybe not thankfully, because it's still 5 o'clock in the morning. I didn't have to do. What about you, King? How did you go about your like projected prices and where, how did you come up with the sort of the range that you were going to get players at?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really plug any projections into Basketball Monster or anything. I guess having done so many mocks, you get an idea of, I mean, obviously, majority of mocks that we do are snake drafts, so you do get an idea of player value in terms of top 60, top 70. Where are they going? ADP. We did a few. I think I did three. Well, I wasn't in them, but I hosted three auction mocks. So, and the reason that I didn't was because I really wanted to have a look at what the prices were, rather than focusing on my team and what's my build and that sort of thing. I just wanted to watch the whole thing and get some data. So I had an idea in my head of prices. Anthony Davis was the guy that I wanted, and I know that he's going to be I expected him to be a $60 player, and I think I got him for 52 from memory, something like that. So I was happy with that. So straight away I was ahead of the game. I thought I had sort of $5 to $10 to play with. I heard, and Josh obviously talked a lot about the, similar to what you've talked about there with, because this is a games cap league, you don't necessarily need to worry about your bench. It treat it almost like a roto league where you can just stash someone who's going to be good for a period of time or later in the season or something like that. But for me with my build, and you did allude to this as well, when you punt four categories, I have no wiggle room. Like I have to win my five categories because there is almost no way I'm winning points, threes, assists, or free throws. And if I look at the projections, it projects me as winning 5-4. But we know that steals and blocks can be they can change. Yeah. Like I could, variants. If I'm up against someone who has Jakob Poeltl and he just randomly has an 8-block game, that could mean. So for me, my bench is actually somewhat important because steals and blocks are probably going to be the swing category. And so I need guys on my bench that I might have to go, well, the team I'm against this week, like you, if I'm against you, I'm probably going to have to play my steals guys over my blocks guys. So I want guys on my bench that are going to play and give me production in that category. So that was my thinking, is that I actually do need some, I'm probably going to utilize my bench a little more than some other teams. And I can chop and change there. So, yeah, but, and I mean, it doesn't always pan out and we'll see. I mean, yeah, I took a risk. I mean, if Anthony Davis gets injured in the fifth game of the season and misses 3 months, I'm probably stuffed, but we'll see.
With that said, though, like rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, you're pretty insulated there. So,
yeah. And that is part of the reason I like doing that punt, is that I've drafted, I think in at least three leagues already this year, I drafted Isaiah Hartenstein before the injury, and now he's done for 6 weeks or 5 weeks, but it doesn't really change my projections too much. Even with him out of my lineup, I'm strong enough in my good categories that I can afford to absorb a loss like that and still win 5-4.
It can be difficult to overcome. A team that did the exact same strategy beat me last year in the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Bowl in the I think the final of the pool rounds, like before it went to the next sort of phase. And I knew what he was doing. Like, I knew I had to beat him in steals. I knew I had to look after my turnovers, and I just couldn't do it. Like, he got all these guys that were just so good in the categories, and like, I would have to completely tank my team and lose to all the other teams to beat this team. Even though, like, I know what you're doing, and a lot of us can sort of see, oh, he's got this strategy. It's even with that knowledge, like, it's hard to overcome. So yeah. definitely a way to go. Before we get into nominating or going through the teams, did you guys have any like specific targets that you sort of wanted to get hell or high water, or like your guys? Because in this, like, again, different to snake format, you kind of at the mercy of ADP and things like that, and you can reach, but really you've got a sort of range that you can go. But in this format, you can get anyone. Was there a specific player or two that you guys said, okay, I'm willing to overpay on this player because they're important to what I want to do, or anything like that, or that you just had a lot higher than others, Karan?
Yeah, so walking in, I think I did really want to have a crack at LaMelo just because I don't have him in any other leagues. And I felt like maybe in this league, he could go at either the sort of where I value him, the right price, or maybe even slightly under. So he went at the right price. I had him at like a $40 player. That's what I got him for. He was one of the ones I was targeting. Zion, obviously, I'm always looking for Zion. I think I got him in this draft as well. But again, I was pretty ready to pivot. If someone put 43, 44 on LaMelo, I would have walked away with no problems, right? I had players that I was like, okay, I don't want them at their current sort of ESPN projected or their Yahoo projected dollars or Yahoo average dollars. It was more, I was looking at that at 70, I do not want Wemby. At 40, I do not want Donovan. 45, I don't want Donovan Mitchell. You know, stuff like that is what I was more paying attention to.
What about you, Kingy?
I mean, I've got a style, and I mean, Josh tried to predict it a few times and he threw players out. He goes, oh, Kingy's going to be in on this guy. And he was right a lot of the time. So Anthony Davis, I really wanted because for this build, he is ideal. Rebounds, blocks, steals, field goal percentage. And so I guess I'm looking for either bigs that maybe get a steal a game or 0.9 steals rather than 0.3. And then I'm looking for, usually in this build, what I've found throughout draft season is I can get my four main categories early and then grab three or four steals guys late, which I did in this draft, but you were also doing that. So we if you look at the back end of both of our drafts, we've actually
overpaid like crazy.
Heavy. Yeah. So I wanted Anthony Davis. And then it's really just fill those bigs. Like, I took Edie. He was not high on my priority list. Gobert, Mark Williams, Derek Lively. Like, it's just get guys that get blocks, get rebounds, high field goal percentage. Amen Thompson is someone that I've overpaid for in a lot of drafts. I got him for 14. I think I got him for 18 in a draft as well, just because he's perfect in what I need him to do. Anunoby is another one because I think people are a little bit down on him, so I can get him. And I think 13's fine. I don't think it's really too high or too low. Dyson Daniels, I mean, everyone I think knows that I'm into Dyson Daniels this season. So I end up with him everywhere. So they're probably the main guys. And then there's, you took a couple of guys like Suggs. D'Anthony Melton is another guy that I've got late in a few spots because he fits that build. So, yeah, there were a few guys that I wanted and targeted, but on the flip side, there were a couple of guys that I passed on because I thought they were actually a bit too high.
Yeah, because I think going into the draft, and this is just my philosophy, especially in auction leagues, I think I see a lot of analysts who talk about auction leagues really stress the value of a player in terms of the dollar amount. And I think that can lead to sometimes that being too much of the focus point, and the fit of the team together kind of gets lost, because it's similar to in a snake draft. Like, you could draft, you know, a player who's quote-unquote value at every round, but if you have a team that it just so happens that every round you're getting the best point score and your team's just so far and away scoring at points, but you're losing these five, six other categories, then you've had a crap draft, even if you've beaten the ADP at every single spot. So for me, it was very much like there was some guys that I was willing to maybe overpay for. And the two guys for me was Chet Holmgren and Evan Mobley. Those shot blocking centers that also don't kill me from the free throw line, give me some passing, shoot some threes, get me, like you said, close to a steal per game, and don't force me into that sort of punt free throw build and force me to get players like Claxton and Kessler. And so when you look at like those Basketball Monster projections pages, you know, maybe I didn't get any value per se, but I think what they allow me to do later on in the draft and the, you know, I'm not foregoing any opportunity cost, I think it's worth it. So that's my experience so far in auction leagues and sort of my, I guess, I don't know, take that's maybe a bit different to others who cover the content is the dollar value is one thing, but I still think you've got to make sure your team makes sense and not just hyper-focus on, oh, yeah, I've got this guy at this dollars and he normally goes at this price, but what does that actually mean for your team?
Yeah, because in the end, it's just about like the team, right? Like, you could pay $15 for a player which is going for $8, but in the end, the team is what matters, not the dollar amount. And the second thing is, like, you had Steph and Paul George, who I think potentially went slightly undervalued, especially Paul George. Paul George, we understand the uncertainty, but even Steph could have easily gone for above 40. So when you have that situation as well, then you're sort of more willing to pay a little bit more for a Chet later on because you got value on the first two picks.
Yeah, 100%. And that dynamic value of an auction draft, I mean, it keeps things very exciting. So that's why it's so hard to compare them. You know, you can't compare one auction draft to another. And I'm sure there'll be people in comments and Twitter posts and things like that have their opinion. But always remember that every auction is its own, like, snowflake, and it's hard to compare them. I'm going to pull the teams up here. So let's bring them up on the screen now. My screen's on there, but we'll skip my team. I've already talked about.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match five or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar S, Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That. Let's go to your team here, Kingy. So the viewers can see this the team on the screen here on the left-hand side. I want to know from you, which was your favorite buy of the draft? Which do you think was the one that you were most excited about? And which was the one that you maybe regret the most? Or is there one that you regret the most?
I wouldn't say I regret anyone who I got because they... As we said, they fit my team. They fit together to complete the build that I wanted. But in terms of value, I suppose, favorite pick was probably, look, it's probably Anthony Davis, I guess, just because, as I said, I thought he's sort of a $60 player. But once because Luka went off to Josh with the first pick, I think, for 54.
Quietly, I was so happy that Josh had the first player.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was very off-brand for him, and he said that in his show.
Well, I don't think he meant to get him. I think he was going to go for more. And
Price enforcing it, and then he just got him.
I knew that he was not going to be happy with that.
So once I saw Luka go for that price, I thought, okay, well, Anthony Davis, I've sort of got them in that same bucket, and I thought, okay, well, I can maybe get him for the low 50s here, which I did, which sort of, I guess, from the get-go, in my mind, put me ahead a little bit. And then in terms of worst or maybe biggest overpay, Amen Thompson is probably the obvious one, $14 for a guy that might only play 22 minutes a night off the bench. Zach Edey is not a guy that I actually don't know why I took Zach Edey. I think, as Josh said, I think it was almost sort of clickbait. He just put him out there and I went, oh, he's a nice fit, and I don't have him anywhere in any league. So we'll see how he goes. So they're probably the two obvious ones. But I probably could have gone a bit harder on a couple of guys, which I always – that's always the case when I do auctions.
So your regrets were maybe some of the guys you didn't get rather than the guys that ended up on your team.
I think so. Yeah. I think, but in saying that, I'm still happy with the team I got. Jalen Williams for $30. I think that's okay. He's a bit confusing for me this year, Jalen Williams. I think do you think $30 is okay? To me, that sounds about right.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, go for it, Mitch.
I think it's fine. I think I've seen him go more expensive in other drafts. Now, that's not always the best indicator, but I think when you compare to some of these other guys, and that, like, we talk about in snake drafts, that, like, second half of the second round through to the end of the third or early fourth round, it's a crapshoot, man. I could think he's a second rounder. You might think he's a fourth rounder, and the difference between that might be like 0.3 steals. Like at the end of the day, it's not that much. So if his shape and what he provides is worth it for you, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Even if you do think it's a bit overs or unders, like it is what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I paid 31 for him last night in the other auction I did. And I also, I felt a little bit, did I overpay? But then later when I sort of reflected on the team, that's perfectly all right. Because as Mitch said, like I have him almost as a, like close to a second rounder, right? So some people may have him as a third or fourth. So I think it's fine to do that. Some people are now potentially paying lesser for him just because they're afraid he's not going to play opening night, but I still think it's good value.
Yeah. And if I'm just looking at the teams here, and if I look across at other guys that went for around 30, Damian Lillard went for 30, Lauri Markkanen went for 29, LeBron James for 30, Bam Adebayo for 27. So, I mean, there's a few guys sort of Shingun. I've probably got Williams in that discussion. I mean, you could make a case for having him 23rd, or you could make a case for having him 35th. As you said, from that middle of the second round through to the end of the third round, you shuffle them around. It depends what stats you need.
Yeah, for sure. Let's bring Karan's team here on the screen. We'll shift our faces over to the other side because Karan's on the right-hand side. What was your – give me a couple of your favorite picks and then your least favorite picks from the draft.
Yeah, so I think you alluded to this earlier as well, that I also wanted to get a few top-end-ish players. I did not want to completely build out a team with $20, $25 players, just given the nature of games cap. You need to have a little bit more top talent concentrated. So I feel for me, then Cat was my favorite pick because I feel at 36, it may be like at his value right now, but he has a chance of returning that first round value. Just given that he's done it before and just given the way they've used him in preseason at the moment, what I've seen. The risk with him is that their rotation at the moment is like 5.5 players. So literally, like if Thibodeau plays them 37, 38, 40 minutes, you have a chance of injury. You have a chance of a lot of things, right? So that's maybe the risk. But I do like him as a guy who can enter that first round discussion at that price. The one I would say I sort of did not, after reflecting, did not enjoy the most was Cam Thomas at 12. Just the price is fine. Like if you look at his average price, it's around there. It's fine. But it's more that I have Ayton as well on that team. And he's Portland. And then obviously with Klingon there and with Robert Williams, what's going to happen in March? And then having Cam Thomas as well was a little scary for me. But I did want his points. I did want his free throws. So I got him there. I was happy with LeVert as well towards the end as a $1 player just because I chanced upon the news of Max Strus being out.
That was very sneaky because like, I had no idea about that news at all while we were drafting and it slipped through me.
I was not bidding for a while. I just sat there. So I went on Twitter and I saw him. I'm like, okay, let me now bid for him. But yeah, other than that would be my sort of key ones that I like was Cat and obviously Cam Thomas I could potentially give back and get someone else for a $13 or $14.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm not the biggest Cam Thomas fan. I thought it was decent enough at the time. Like he was obviously with my strategy, not someone I was interested in at the slightest, but was hoping he would go for a little bit more than that. But yeah, no, interesting. And obviously, like we can see here, you've got the several sort of cheaper guys at the end here, which was sort of your plan going into it with a couple of guys here. But again, no one priced over 40. So $40 was your maximum for LaMelo. Kind of a similar price makeup as my team with a couple of 30s guys in there and a lot of sort of guys in the teens and a couple of 20s in there as well. So obviously, I think it was a decent spread of value because it matches mine very similarly. Any other teams out there that you guys are, you know, think did exceptionally well or, you know, think might do well in this competition and that you're worried to go up against? Anyone you wanted to give a little extra shout out to?
Well, I mean, I like you're good at steals, so like that I think we're gonna it'll probably come down to that one category for us, as it will for me with probably a few teams. I don't know. I mean, it's in a league like this with 12 guys that know what they're doing and all have a strategy, and that is what I really love about auction drafts is the fact that everyone can have their own strategy. And in a snake league, it's really either you punt or you don't. That's sort of it. Whereas in this one, it's about, like in a snake draft, you can't say, look, I'm just not going to pick in the first two rounds and then give me three picks in the fourth round. But you can. In an auction draft, you can just ignore the first 15 players and it's – we did an auction yesterday afternoon. I did it with my mates, and the guy who won my league last year, he ended up with Wemby, Jokic, and Halliburton. So he went hard, really hard. and he's that, like, there's absolutely no way you could do that in a snake draft. End up with three top five, top seven players. So. Yeah, I think, I mean, projections are one thing, as we know, and everyone has their own projections. But I just think it's going to be a close league. And there's actually a few guys in here that I've never been in a league with. Yep. I've been with you guys and with Josh and Kyle, Alex Burns. But then we've got the Point Made guys, Establish the Run, Angle Fantasy, and Fantasy Trash Talk Channel. I don't know how these guys play and do they like trades? Do they stream? So it's going to be fun, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I also just from what, again, like, I think your team's going to be tough for me to beat. I also think, shout out to Fantasy Trash Talk. I think they had a good draft. Kind of the exact opposite to what you did, King.
Yes.
Where they went with the big man punts. But what I do like what Fantasy Trash Talk did. Is it Jacob, I think, is the guy who did that? I watched his video. He did also a video covering the draft as well. So if you haven't checked that one out, he condensed his down to an hour with what I imagine was a lot of editing. But his team is actually really strong in turnovers for a team that has basically no bigs. which I thought was interesting, getting someone like a Tyrese Halliburton, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Fred VanVleet, who are good assist guys but don't turn the ball over a lot. So I think he's going to be very competitive as well. So for a newcomer, for someone who's, again, I haven't played him before, I think he's got a strong team. And I am very interested to see how Angle goes with this Wemby Jokic build.
Yeah.
Because it's not what I would do, but it's not to say that that's not going to work out. Obviously, they're two, like, the best fantasy basketball players basically we've seen really in the last 20 years. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go on the same team. What about you, Karan?
Yeah, I think Angle also snuck in a few, like, Reeves and Tyus Jones, like, value players on his team, which is annoying at the time. I didn't want him to get them. But, yeah, I think for me, I'm interested to see how Joel does, right? Not necessarily good or bad, but just because if you look at the back end of his roster, the back end of his roster is probably the strongest, right? He has, like, I think it's Jeremy Grant his worst player, is Jalen Green his worst player. So he has a strong bench. So I'm keen to see how he sort of uses this in a games cap league and how he sort of maneuvers this. Like, if he has injuries, obviously, then he has a really strong bench to cover it. So that's what I'm interested in, to see how he does. Then, yeah, I think Jake from Fantasy Trash Talk, I think his punt big man build is good there as well. I think these two would be the ones that I'm really interested to see. Everyone really had a strategy and walked in with that, but I think these two are the ones which for me stood out.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And the last thing I wanted to just touch on today, guys, was any, I guess, gamesmanship, mind games, extra tactics that you guys either employed yourself or noticed anyone doing in the draft that you thought was worth a little bit of an extra mention on today's podcast, and something that you might either recommend to other people or just something to sort of keep in mind in future drafts. Kingy?
I guess I could probably go back in hindsight and look at a few things, but during the draft, I'm just so focused on my team that if someone's nominated that I'm not interested in, I zone out for 30 seconds and I'm just then going, okay, who do I want? Looking at prices. I'm sure there were, and yeah, I mean, my strategy is not a secret. So people know who I'm going after we were sort of going back and forth on some steals guys there. But I don't think that, well, I mean, maybe it was you trying to steal some guys from me, but I think it was more just trying to get steals guys and whatever, either way, whatever. It is meant to be competitive. And, I certainly don't employ any strategies other than, trying to get the price up. Occasionally I'll do that. Trying to get money off the board early, fairly common strategy. So getting those big name players out there. I actually did do an auction mock where I didn't allow a top 20 player to be nominated until the fifth round of the draft.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
It was interesting. It sort of flipped a lot of the money around and the value was in different pockets. So, I tend to just worry about myself and no one else. Whether that works, we'll find out in 6 months.
We will find out. What about you, Karan? Were you playing any mind games for anyone?
No, I mean, not even. I was very, very focused on my team. But I think for me, the one was when I sort of figured out what strategy the team was doing. And for example, right, if there was a run in which a lot of big men just suddenly went, and then I'm looking at the board and there's not, with Hartenstein out and Porzingis out, there's not a lot of quality big men. So then I was like, okay, let me put out a big man I don't really want, and let me see how much they bid this person up. And then go from there, right? That's one I did employ. And then when I saw that Jacob was obviously going for a punt big build, so then I wanted to drive up the price for some of the points guys and assist guys he's getting, because that's core to his build. So that's when I was in with him on Lillard. And I think Lillard, I had him at about a $25-$26 player, maybe slightly higher. And like, I managed to get Jacob to pay 30 for him, which is still a decent price. It's just, you're kind of taking a little bit away from them because you sort of know what they're trying to do, right? But yeah, it's only in sort of isolated situations that I did that. Other time, I was just like sort of focusing on my own growth.
Because it can go wrong. And I think there was a comment. There was a comment on when I posted my team from Alex, who admittedly he did say before the draft that it was his first time doing an auction draft. And I can definitely empathize with that. But I think he commented saying he was trying to price and force Jason Tatum. And he drafted Giannis in that team. So Giannis doesn't typically, you know, you don't see that build typically work. And it can, but of course, lot of money in those two players, and he was trying to price and force Tatum, but he got stuck with him because everyone sort of stopped bidding, and so there's a lot of risk when it comes to that. So for me, when I do that, I the price enforcement, if I'm not interested in a player that's expensive, I'm just willing to go, okay, you get a cheaper value, cool, you've got that. But I was trying to, especially late, like with Kingy, for example, I think there's a big thing, especially later in the draft, where the order in which you nominate players has a massive effect on how teams are going to shape out. Because if there's a few guys that I really want, for example, when we're looking at the Steelers guys, I really want a Suggs. I really want a Herb Jones. I really want these guys that are maybe a little bit more value. And there's some other Steelers players, for example, like an Amen Thompson, like a Dyson Daniels, which I like, but I'd still prefer these other guys. I'm going to nominate those guys before the guys that I want, because a player like Kingy, like Trash Talk, these other guys I'm competing heavily in steals with, they're probably going to go for those guys because they're in the mindset, okay, I need this type of player. And I'm going to try and get you to spend up on those players so that you might not have enough money to go for the guys that I actually want. Risk, because I might get stuck with them, but at least they're guys that I want. The payoff is that hopefully I can sneak through with Suggs for less than that. And yeah, so I think that order nomination is a big one. It's hard to say exactly how to do it because it kind of unfolds naturally throughout the draft. But, you know, the Zach Edey one's another example. I thought that was actually very interesting, like throwing out those weird players like Kawhi Leonard early in the draft, throwing out a Zach Edey, the Dalton Connect one, which just cracked me up. I thought that was hilarious. But like those types of like random players that come out, I think really breaks up the draft and it gets people thinking on their feet a little bit, because you're not sure how much money you're going to have to play with when you buy these other guys that are cheaper, which makes it a bit harder to gain the understanding of where they're going.
Yep.
So, yeah.
No, it's, and as you said, every auction is unique. So you can't look at our auction draft if you're then doing an auction draft 24 hours later and go, well, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot.
There's a lot to be gained by watching it, like, but I don't think it's the prices. Like, a lot of people will focus on the prices a player goes for. I think the bigger thing to be gained from is the strategy and, like, the timing at which things happen, the, you know, the bidding up and, you know, whether or not someone's very much like a bid straight away, or they wait for it to count down, or, you know, like, even some things like when we got down to those last couple of picks, you know, nominating someone for $2, knowing that no one else has got, you know, more than $3 or anything left. So if someone wants a player, they're going to have to go all in to get them. Not, but even like that extra dollar can be the difference. You know, I think you did that at the very end there, Karan. I did it with Mike Conley because he was someone I wanted. And if someone wanted him more than that, they needed to go all in basically to get them. Those little things I think are more valuable.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
We might close it out there, guys. Any closing remarks or messages to the rest of the league on the podcast? Any, you know, threats you want to send out to the league mates there, Karan?
I wish everyone a good year, and we go from there.
That's it, mate. That's it. What about you, Kingy? Last remarks?
No, look, isn't it just good luck? But may your injuries be plentiful and not too serious, but just a lot of them, and maybe sprained ankles.
Yeah, a lot of load management, right? Yeah, that's what we're all
Paul George, load management.
Hey. I had him. Look, stupidly, I drafted him well before the news came out, and I'm still drafting him now. So he's apparently my guy this year. But no, thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. If you did like the video and like all the industry pickup content, hit this big thumbs up on this video. I will be covering it throughout the year. Maybe not a video every single week, but I'll definitely be touching base on it throughout the year, especially on social media. So head on over and check that one out. You can check out and follow this league at industrypickup.com if you guys want to have a look at all of our transactions and things like that. Actually, sorry, before we go, I know you guys have made some waiver wire moves. What have you guys done so far? Kingy, I saw you made some moves.
I did. Hang on.
Well, Karan, did you have yours ready?
Yeah, I got some dick in.
Yes. Got to get the dick in.
Yeah. And I picked up Grady Dick as well. No, I mean, I got him and I got Kelly Oubre as well, just because I have Shaden Sharp on the IL.
You splashed big for Oubre from memory.
Yeah. I think I wanted to do really, I think I did like 70, 80 bucks for him, which maybe in hindsight a lot, but because I was really desperate for some points, man, because Shaden Sharp's out for a while now. So I was like, I can't afford to not get him right now because there's no other big point scorer out there. And I think some of the last guys, Norman Powell, Cam Johnson, etc., who I did want as my $1-2 players, like they went.
Yeah.
So that's why I got Oubre and I got Dick just to see if I can get some scoring from them and then move around my IL spots. So that's what I've done so far.
Karan, hoping for some explosions from Dick. Kingy, what about your moves? You picked up Tari Eason, it looks like, here.
Yeah, so I took Asar Thompson with my last pick, I think it was, and with a view to moving him straight to IR because we don't know if and when he's coming back. So my plan was always to drop, or not drop him, but move him out of my active lineup and grab someone. And I just think Tari Eason, for me, has the most upside. And look, if he plays 20 minutes a night and doesn't do much, then I'll just drop him and grab someone else. Yeah. But yeah, that's it at the moment. But as you said, yeah, there have been a few moves. And Josh, I'm assuming, has dropped Dalton Connect. I haven't looked at his roster.
He plays first game. So
he does, actually. Yeah, well, he's made two moves. So maybe he's just moved a couple of guys to IR. Yeah, I don't know what he's done. But Josh has picked up Mattis Bouzelis and Trey Mann
as well. Stash guys there, I think. I've gone the streaming route. I've grabbed Miles McBride and Sam Hauser just literally for the week one, that first day.
Streaming
already, right?
Day one.
Well, this is one of the only weeks we can bloody do it because the games cap, we're not going to hit 40 games this week, or at least if you don't stream, you won't, because obviously there's one fewer game in the week. And the first game, there's only two games. So, and I think the third day, there's only like three games as well. So very low volume schedule. So that's kind of my strategy there. But
yeah, I like McBride as well.
I like McBride.
He may play 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
just because there's no one there.
No, there's no one there. No, I'm just moving Jalen Williams into my IR spot, and let's have a look at who's on the waiver wire. Who's playing on opening night?
That's it. You got to grab someone.
Probably no one now. Everyone's picked, streamed them in already.
Just get old mate. Who can you get? Luke Kornet.
Pritchard is there.
Luke Kornet. You can grab
Luke Kornet. Horford will rest, and Kornet will play and get me four blocks.
That will do it for us today, guys. We're going to stop talking shit and let you guys get back to your day. Yep. And we will catch you guys next time again. Make sure you like, subscribe, give this video a big old thumbs up. Make sure you subscribe to Fantasy Basketball International. Follow Karan on Twitter. I'll post his Twitter down in the comment section below. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Mix and match 5 or more on Powerade, Campbell's Soup, Bar S Franks, and more for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.29 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.